But I love the fish. I spend all day out on this lake, and hell is all I catch. But today she met me at the door, said I would have to choose. And if I hit that fishing hole today, she'd be packing all her things and she'd be gone by noon. Well, I'm gonna miss her when I get home. Right now I'm on this lake shore, and I'm sitting in the sun. I'm sure it'll hit me when I walk through that door tonight. Yeah, I'm gonna miss her on the day. I've got a bite. Oh.
And isn't that always the case, it seems? I don't know if my wife would be quite that understanding. Anyway, Bill Martin's in for Glenn Moberg on this week's edition of Route 51. Today we're on the lookout for the elusive muskie, the fish of 10,000 casts. And if you didn't know, Wisconsin is the place to land one of these monsters. The DNR says more world records have been caught in the state than in anywhere else. The biggest weighing in at 69 pounds, 11 ounces. It was caught from the Chippewa flowage in 1952. So with the DNR's free fishing weekend coming up this Saturday and Sunday, meaning you don't need a fishing license, we thought it would be a good time to talk about those trophies lurking in the water. You excited? Good. Well, with us this hour is Leon Buckshot Anderson, who spent 61 years as a fishing guide in northern Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. He is the author of multiple books, including his most recent, 60 Years Between the Oars, and is a member of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. He also told me he's caught more than 400 muskies. He joins us on the phone from his home in St. Germain. Hey, Buckshot, you were on with Larry Mueller last August to talk about that book. Welcome back to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, thank you for bringing me back on. I had a good time and hope to have another one, and I'm sure I will.
Absolutely. You do any fishing today?
Yes, I was out with two of my customers that I've been fishing with since 1967, Norb and Dick Dudek from LaGrange, Illinois. They started out as young men with me, and I was young, and fishing for muskies, and then they gradually decreased their energy levels to walleye, northern bass, and now finally they're fishing bluegills and crappies, so that's what we went for today.
And how'd you do?
We caught, we ate for lunch, and I've got about 22 or 24 of them sitting out in the cooler waiting to be cleaned after the show is over. So we threw back a lot of fish today, so they had a good time. We also caught probably 50 or 60 largemouth bass, which, of course, the season's not over yet, and we release those anyway most of the time.
Wow, you guys were busy. Well, congratulations. Buckshot's going to tell some stories, share a few pointers, and, of course, answer your muskie-related questions. What's your best fish tale? Where do you like to fish for muskies? What do you want to know about how to find them or bring them in the boat? 1-800-780-9742, 800-780-9742. You can also find Route 51 on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. Buckshot, why do they call you Buckshot?
Well, it's kind of a boring story. I was born on my grandparents' farm in Mountain, Wisconsin, down in O'Connor County, and in the middle of the winter, and I only weighed 5 pounds, 2 ounces. And one of the neighbors, after he heard about the event had taken place, he snowshoed over to my grandparents' home to take a look at the new kid on the block. And I only weighed 5 pounds, 2 ounces, and they had me in a clothes basket. And Mr. Ren Whitney looked in, and he said, heck, he's no bigger than a buckshot. And so at the age of 1 day, I had my nickname that's stuck on for 74 years.
Oh, well, that's what we will call you for the rest of this hour, then, if that's all right. Let's talk about muskies here. It is the official state fish. How's Wisconsin's muskie population doing? Are there a lot of them waiting to be caught?
I would say my opinion is there's probably as many muskies here now as there ever was, perhaps even more, as the state has gradually introduced many of them to bodies of water that normally didn't have them. landlocked lakes originally did not have any muskies. They were only found in the lakes that were accessible to the Mississippi or the Great Lakes. And they've gradually been released in a lot of other lakes. So there's many, many lakes up here that have them.
Sure, but they're not easy to catch, are
they? Oh, no, no. Well, sometimes I've had people catch them. One gentleman caught one on the first cast, and he'd never been muskie fishing before, and his partner who brought him up told him how difficult it was that he'd fished for 9 years before he caught one. And so he brought this gentleman up, and I took him out and put a bucktail on. He made the cast. He caught a legal muskie. So it can happen, but not very often.
Well, they call muskie, you know, the fish of 10,000 casts, not fish of one cast. And the DNR's website says it takes the average angler more than 50 hours, or about 2 days. Think about that. I've got 5:12 on my clock right here. You go head out right now, and you could be fishing straight through until, you know, Saturday evening before the average angler is going to bring one in the boat to catch one that's larger than 30 inches.
Yep.
Sounds like it requires a lot of patience, which maybe not everyone has.
Yes, that's definitely true. Now, my father, who got me started in this game, also was an excellent guide for many years. He kept a diary, a daily diary, every day that he went on the water for the 21 years that he guided. And he forced me to start keeping one in 1953, which I have done. So I have over 5,000 entries in my diary, where I went, what the weather was, what we caught, who I fished with, anything unusual that happened. And if you look at the just muskie stats, figure two people at, in the boat casting for 6 hours a day, it'll take about 2.68 days to catch one legal muskie. That's the average over the my dad's 21 years and my 61 years. Although he did a lot more muskie fish than I have. I mean, during the summer, but that's it. So be patient.
Man alive, I don't know if I'd be able to have that much patience, but hopefully your patience gets rewarded. Can you describe the feeling of finally landing one of these after sitting out there without much going on?
Well, you'll never forget your first one. I could be in the Guinness Book of Records for perhaps catching the most undersized ones before I caught a legal one. I caught 27 undersized muskies, and that's back in the day when they only had to be 30 inches long, before
right.
I finally boated my first one. And I remember the battle to the last minute detail. Most people, they can't remember the first walleye or their first crappie or their first bass, but they'll remember their first muskie.
Yeah, and I imagine even though the smaller ones were still, I mean, that's still a decent size fish. It may not be a huge muskie, but it's not, a minnow.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how many I had in that 27 that were over 29 inches, but not 30, so it could be frustrating.
Just
and
missed
the mark.
Of course,
you hear the angler gets his first one, that's a 30-pounder, but that's rare. So that's why it's fishing and not catching,
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you told me on the phone yesterday that you've caught more than 400 muskies.
Yes.
You've also been a guide for 61 years. Is it still as thrilling for you today as it was back in the early 50s, I guess?
Well, I still get a little shaky when I get more excited when a customer catches a big fish than I do now. I still get excited, but muskies are one of the fish that will make you shake. After you get them in the boat or release them, you get that little tremble in the hand, and I guess that's the thrill, of this beast that prowls the underwater, the ultimate predator under the water in Wisconsin. So
yeah, something you got to experience to really get.
Yes.
Tell us about the biggest one you've caught.
Well, the biggest one I've caught was 28.5 pounds. Caught it on a homemade bucktail on a day when things weren't looking good, and my two customers said, "Why don't you pick up your rod and make a couple casts, and maybe you'll change your luck." And we were just going by a guy's diving raft, and I threw that old beat-up homemade bucktail over there, and a fish grabbed it. So a lot of times, when I got a muskie anglers in the boat, I don't fish. I catch it, see what I mean? But that just happened that day. I made about three casts and caught the biggest one I've had.
Did he wind up on the wall, or did you let him go?
Oh, he's on the wall, yeah. I haven't, as I say, in my 61 years, less than 5% of my time has been spent exclusively for muskies.
Sure.
And I've probably caught as many on fishing for other fish by accident as I have casting for them. So
1-800-780-9742 if you want to get on the program here and talk about musky fishing, tell your own story. Again, 1-800-780-9742. What is it about muskies that sets them apart from other fish? I mean, generally speaking, we don't get this excited about bass or perch or even some of the larger ones like salmon out on Lake Michigan, for example. Is it just because they're so big and so hard to get?
Yeah, I would say that's it. And quite frequently, when you're fishing for muskies, you've got to keep an eye on your bait all the time. Wear Polaroid glasses and watch behind your bait, because a lot of times they'll come right up to the boat and then strike, and sometimes not. There's a technique we use. It's called a figure eight. If you see one behind it, you reel your bait up right up to the tip of your rod just about, then stick the rod in the water and make figure eights round and around, and sometimes they'll hit it right at the boat. Well, that's exciting when you hit one about 20 pounds that hits right at the boat.
Yeah.
But just the fact to see one follow right up to the boat, in most cases it scares the you-know-what out of a lot of people.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Do they make for good eating?
I prefer them smoked or baked, wrapped in aluminum foil with some spices, and onion and lemon and olive oil and garlic, and bake them. I don't think they're very good fried, although some people think they are. But
are they safe though for the most part? I know some fish you don't really want to ingest.
Well, no, they just have a strong taste, such as the name of a musky kind of maybe insinuates. It's a totally different taste than a northern pike, which is their cousin, or a pickerel, which is a cousin. They're very, very tasty fish.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a hunch that if you ate a real small musky, like a 20-incher, which would be, of course, be illegal, that they might taste entirely different. The bigger they get, the generally the less tasty the fish are. So,
can you usually tell if you've got a musky on your line before you even see the fish? I mean, does it have a distinct feel?
No, there's so many different ways that they hit. There's the classic brawling, leaping hit, the jarring hit, but quite frequently you'll only feel a little tick, but a lot of times they'll come up behind your lure and they're going fast as they're coming, and they engulf it, and sometimes your line actually goes slack, like all of a sudden you've lost contact with your lure. So it isn't always the hit, but when you set the hook and they feel there's a hook in there, you'll know you got something.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, muskie expert and Hall of Fame angler Buckshot Anderson is with us this week on Route 51. If you've got a muskie fishing question, maybe about technique, which we'll talk about coming up, location, whatever, or if you've got a great fish story, give us a call. That number is 1-800-780-9742, 800-780-9742. Don't forget, we're also on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. I'm Bill Martins, in for Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
The Marathon UW Extension Master Gardeners are offering a garden clinic each Wednesday from 10 until 2, now through September. No appointment is needed. Just stop in at 212 River Drive in Wausau for gardening help. More information at 261-1230.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
5:20 here on this Thursday evening. You're listening to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Take a quick look at your forecast here. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 50s. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, breezy and warmer, highs in the upper 70s. They're actually calling for darn near 90 down in Madison, where I am, for tomorrow. I think I'd rather be in Wausau. I'd prefer those temperatures over 90 any day. And Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the 70s. Right now, mainly sunny skies around north central Wisconsin with temperatures in the mid-60s to lower 70s. So not a bad evening out there at all, especially if you want to hit the water, I guess. Back with more Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Martin sitting in for Glenn Moberg, who's on vacation. Not sure if Glenn does any fishing, but if you're listening, Glenn, good luck out there. Hall of Fame angler, author, and Northwoods fishing guide Buckshot Anderson of St. Germain is our guest this hour as we talk about muskie fishing in Wisconsin. If you've got a question or story, 1-800-780-9742. Buckshot, we talked earlier about how, you know, muskie fishing requires some patience and perhaps an awful lot of patience if you don't have your technique down pat. So let's assume you're near some weeds, rocks, wood, wherever muskies like to hang out, and you've got the right kind of equipment. All right, you cast your line out there. Do you just start reeling in right away? Do you let the lure sink a bit first? How fast do you reel? I mean, walk me through the technique.
Well, it depends on what type of a lure you're using. The most common and probably more muskies have been caught on it than any other type is what we call a bucktail. There's all kinds of alterations. Basically, what that is a big spinner, which in behind it you have a treble hook or multiple treble hooks hidden in a wad of what used to be just deer hair. Now they use skunk hair. They use artificial fibers. I used turkey feathers to put on mine, I caught, a homemade one. But that's the bucktail, and that one, as soon as it hits the water, you want to get it going, because the spinning blade sets up a vibration which theoretically antagonizes them or causes those curiosity for them to come and check it out. And they either strike out of anger, they strike out of hunger, they strike out of frustration, perhaps being annoyed by it, so that one you want to reel not as many as fast as you can, but keep it coming, keep it like it, so you can see it. If you can reel it so it's 6, 7, 8 inches below the water, so you can still see your bait coming, that'll really help you identify when you got a strike. Now, if you're using a crankbait, or a stick bait, sometimes they're called, you know, old pikey minnows and the rapalas. Those can be toned down, because as you reel, they wobble, or you can jerk them and make them act kind of weird, like it's an injured fish. The old suic bait or the bobby bait or the schmitty bait are some of the wooden stick baits that can be used that way. And then you have the plastics or some of the rubber type baits that are weighted. And those you cast out and let them sink, and then you retrieve them in a jerky motion again. So,
okay. Well, now let's
then
say...
Then, of course, the surface bait, which you just run across the top of the surface. It makes all kinds of racket, and when you get a strike there, it's really spectacular.
Okay. Well, let's say now he really clamps down, and you've got a fight on your hands. How do you get him to the boat?
Well, you let him run. Of course, the new reels now with the adjustable drags on them, allow the fish to take the line out if you've got the drag set, you know, correctly. If you got it too tight, he's going to snap your line. If you got it too loose, he may take off and off line and wrap you around something. But you let him fight himself. Keep the line tight. Keep the rod tip up. And if he goes under the boat, put the rod tip down so the line doesn't rub on the bottom of the boat and cut it off. So you basically, he's the boss.
So you let him wear himself down.
Most people make the mistake by trying to get him in too quick.
Right. Okay. So now I understand that you're not supposed to just reach down, pull it up like you would, you know, some other fish, because they can hurt you. So if your plan is to let it go, how do you do that without hurting yourself or really damaging the fish?
Well, my favorite way is to play the fish out so that it's really pooped out completely, and they start to roll on their side. And if the hook is in a position where you can reach down with your pliers and get a hold of it and actually take the hook out of the fish's mouth without taking it out of the water, that is the absolute best way, because you're not putting any stress on the fish. See, what people don't really probably think about is that a fish is weightless. A fish in the water is weightless. So their muscle system and support system is not used to being fighting gravity. So when you take that fish out of the water and hold them up and take pictures, you're putting a lot of stress on them. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way. Now, there is a thing called a cradle now that it looks like something you'd haul an injured person on, and you can put this fish in that up next to the boat to work on them and still leave them in the water.
I suppose that might be better than just using a net, huh?
Yes, and the net, if you're going to release a fish, I would say try not to net it. But, of course, it may be a huge fish that has a hook inside where you're going to have to get at it. You have no other choice.
But, and then I suppose if that would be the case, then would you just want to maybe just cut the line instead of trying to work it out?
Well, if they have a big lure in their mouth, and they may not be able to feed then, and they might die. It's a tough call sometimes.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to call in and ask a question about musky fishing or tell a story or pretty much anything musky related is going to go this hour. 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. We've got just a couple of minutes to go before we've got a news break coming up here. Does the weather or time of day or the time of year impact your technique at all? I mean, are there some times when the muskie might be a little bit deeper, maybe the water's a little bit cooler or something?
Midsummer, they tend to go deep, particularly on lakes where there's a lot of traffic, a lot of boat traffic. Of course, there's a whole new science now of fishing with suspended muskies that sometimes I may be 20, 30 feet down. Tony Rizzo, one of the famous guides from our area, was one of the pioneers in solving some of the mysteries of fishing for suspended fish with weighted baits and using your depth finder to locate them, or locating structure that they like to hang over, schools of bait fish that they'll follow in deep water. That's a whole different science. You got to really be a musky nut to get at that. But it's another thing. Early in the season, when the water's cold, they're lethargic. Like right now, they've just finished their spawning. The females are pretty beat up from that, and they're not too active yet, but they will be soon. Slow down your presentation in cold water and then speed it up a little bit in warmer water.
Hey, about 30 seconds here. How much of fishing is actually luck? How much of it is actually skill?
Well, I think the skill is knowing where to go to look for that muskie. That's learning the body of water, learning the weed beds, the rock bars, the points, the drop-offs, the places where they're going to use as ambush points. That's the skillful part. And, of course, being able to cast at a particular spot, a deadhead log sticking out of the water. A lot of times the muskies will hang right under them. If you can lay that bait in there real close, sometimes they'll just instinctively hit it because it's something that spooked them, you know.
All right, Buckshot. Well, I tell you what, we got a news break coming up here so we can pick up on this on the other side. We're talking with Buckshot Anderson. He's a fishing guide in northern Wisconsin and the UP of Michigan. And we'll talk more musky fishing here on Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Martin's in for Glenn Moberg, who will resume hosting duties in 2 weeks as he enjoys a bit of a break. I'll be with you again next week. Topic to be determined, so stay tuned. We're talking about one of Wisconsin's most important and unique trophies, the muskie. Has been for a while, with the state legislature proclaiming the muskie as the official state fish back in 1955. So it shouldn't be a huge surprise that the world record muskie was pulled from Chippewa Flowage up in northern Wisconsin in 1952. He weighed 69 pounds, 11 ounces. That's huge. But before we get back to our discussion with Buckshot Anderson, I want to play for you an essay on the thrill of muskie fishing. Imagine landing Wisconsin's version of Moby Dick and its razor-sharp teeth and enormous size. Here's commentator and former journalist Michael Fido on his family quest.
Before I was married, I never thought much about the Wisconsin state fish, the muskellunge. I knew it was among the largest, most ferocious freshwater species, but my own fishing experience in northern Minnesota, where I was raised, was bereft of muskies. Dad and I caught walleyes and northern pike, and I was content with those. It was my father-in-law, Glenn, who lived in Spooner, who was obsessed with muskies. His passion had been stream trout until the day he captured a monster muskie in a Department of Natural Resources net, and it changed his life. Glenn was a fisheries employee, and each spring he netted game fish to collect spawn for the Spooner fish hatchery. The old lady, as he called her, was ensnared in his nets on two occasions, 3 years apart. A legal muskie in Wisconsin measures at least 34 inches, weighing slightly more than 11 pounds. He estimated this fish as nearly 6 feet long and thought she would have weighed more than 90 pounds. "We almost filled our daily quota of muskie eggs when we milked her," he told me. After seeing and handling his massive muskie, Glenn forsook trout and was beset with what is known around Hayward as muskie madness. This is a state of mind that produces fishing widows and orphans. The madness afflicts anglers who become moody and perpetually lost in thought about hunting the fabled behemoth members of the northern pike family that also resemble the barracuda. There have been rare instances when muskies have gashed swimmers and small dogs. They've even been known to swallow ducks. As a muskie guide near Hayward told me, once you've tangled with a muskie, no other fish matters. He told me of an encounter 20 years earlier when a huge fish stripped off all his ultra-heavy line, ripped the spool from the reel, and popped every ferrule as the spool sped toward the tip of the rod. "She just destroyed my rod and reel," he said. It's often said that an angler pitches 1,000 casts before he hooks a muskie. That's my story. I still haven't caught one. But Glenn insists that I carry on his pursuit and try to get the world record for the family. I'd like to accommodate him, but I'm also entering what my daughter calls the long tooth time of life. So I'm thinking about enrolling in the University of Esox, as in Esox Maskwinonji, Muskelunge. It's operated by the folks who publish Muskie Hunter magazine, and maybe they can change my fortunes. On the other hand, I've had a recurring dream in which I land a humongous muskie on my first cast. Wish me luck.
Don't know why I fish sometimes. I guess I want to see who's at the other end of the line. Nice fish, they all say.
Again, that's commentator and former journalist Michael Fido. And Strange Champs produced that piece for Wisconsin Life. And if you'd like to listen to that again, it's available at wilife.tumblr.com. That's wilife.tumblr.com. Back with Buckshot Anderson, who's been a fishing guide for 61 years in northern Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. His most recent book is called 60 Years Between the Oars, and he's a member of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. If you want to ask him a question about how to be a better muskie angler or, you know, brag a little bit about a whopper that you caught, we'll take your call at 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. So, Buckshot, according to some info I've got from the DNR, you can find abundant muskie fishing on 711 lakes and 83 streams across 48 counties in the state. Most of them are in far northern Wisconsin. You're in St. Germain, which is right smack in the middle of prime muskie territory. You know, Vilas, Oneida, Iron, Price counties. Why are muskies so prevalent there and not so much in the southern half of the state?
I think it's probably the habitat, and I'm not knowing exactly all about that muskie habitat, but they've got the much diverse things to eat in the water, and the water stays a little bit cooler up north than it does. And it appears that from one of the plantings they've done as far as Texas, that the muskies don't get as big, and it's maybe the water temperature. That would be one of my guesses.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the minimum length requirement for muskies has gone up over the years. Back in 1996, the statewide limit was 34 inches, but depending on where you go now, it could be 40, 45, or even 50 inches.
Correct.
What's your read on that?
Yes. Well, there are some of the lakes that produce big fish, and generally these are the bigger lakes. They tend to get bigger in the bigger lakes. They don't seem to do as well as in a real small lake. So what they're trying to do is create a fishery where a guy could go out and get a real wall hanger that he'd be proud to put on a wall. I have some misgivings about that personally, because the vast majority of muskies, the males outnumber the females by quite a bit, like 10 to 1, I've read.
Oh, wow.
And rarely does a male muskie get over 40 inches. So if you drop a 45-inch or a 50-inch size limit on a muskie in a certain lake, you're running the risk that you may have a lake full of too many muskies for the food supply, and you may have a reversal, and you may start getting fish that are stunted, that don't grow normally. So I'm not so sure that is a wise decision in all cases.
Okay. Well, we've got a caller here. Let's go to Wild Rose and talk to Dan. Hello, Dan. You're on Route 51. Go ahead.
Hey, Buckshot.
Hi.
I'm glad to talk to you. Listen, there's basically three lures. There's the bucktail, surface bait, the suix, or the bobby baits. Then you have your jointed pikies and stuff. And as far as the weather goes, what would you suggest is the best lure to use in the different type of weather? The sunny days, the overcast, a little windy. What's actually the best days or best times to use a different lure?
Well, Buckshot, go ahead.
If you had to stick with one lure for all conditions, I would go with a bucktail. Probably a number 5 MEPS would be as good as any, and in a darker color, purple or black hair, and hang a piece of pork rind on one of the treble hooks on the back. It not only livens up the action with a little wiggle, but it also gives off a scent, and I feel strongly that helps.
Dan, that answer your question?
Well, I was just wondering, if it's a sunny day, do I use a surface bait, or do I use underwater or the bucktail? Or, as the fronts come in, the area, the weather is what I'm looking for. What bait do you suggest is the best bait to use as the different weather changes?
Well, when it's bright out, a bright day, sunny day, probably a surface bait would not be a good idea, because the fish's eyes are very light sensitive. They don't like to come up. They tend to go deeper. So if you're going to, on a sunny day, you might want to slow your retrieve down just a little bit, just enough to keep the spinner going, or use some sort of a crankbait. And, of course, when the front's coming in, that's the time to be out there. But when you hear that first roll of thunder, be smart enough to get off the lake.
Oh, sure. Yep. But
that's
then
good advice.
The surface baits then is kind of like a dusk type of thing, or real early in the morning?
Right. A lot of guys fish at night with the surface baits, because then they're up on the surface. They're not frightened. There's no noise out there, not much boat traffic. Dark day or evening or early morning for the surface bait. And wait a little while till the water warms up more. The surface baits aren't really this good early in the season. Wait
Dan,
till late June, July, then August, then your surface baits work much better.
Well, thank you, sir, for your information. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. Let's go now to Owen and talk to Carla, who's got a fish story for us. Hi, Carla.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, this happened back in the summer of 1969 in a little town. We were at Klinke Park in Menominee, Michigan. And we were having our picnic, and us kids are all in the inner tube, and we're out swimming to see who could get the farthest out in the water. Well, I won, and as I'm kicking around out there, something starts rubbing against my leg.
Uh-oh.
And I look down, and it is the biggest fish I have ever seen in my entire life. At first, I thought it was a branch because it just kept rubbing along my leg, and then I realized whatever it was swimming, and it was longer than I was tall. I was maybe 8 years old at the time. And I started screaming for my dad, and he come out and pulled me in. And everybody started looking around in that fort, and they swear it was a muskie. So that's,
wow.
That is my muskie story.
Yeah, I bet that's one you're not going to forget.
That's an original.
Yeah.
What's that?
I've never heard that one before. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Wow. Carla, thank you for telling that. We really appreciate it. Have a good weekend, all right?
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks a lot. Hey, Buckshot, there's a saloon in Minocqua where there's a huge muskie up on the wall. The owner said it choked on a duck. And when Carla was telling me about, you know, that close call with a muskie, I mean, do muskies really go after, you know, ducks and other mammals, not just real small stuff?
Oh, yeah, they've been found with muskrats in their stomach, squirrels, squirrels will swim sometimes, too. Baby ducks in particular. In fact, there's a lure that was made imitating a baby duck that you cast it out and came along and the little feet went paddle, paddle, and I would imagine there's been some muskies caught on it. They'll probably catch them on a beer bottle if you put a hook on it and cast it long enough.
Beer bottle fishing. you know, I know you've been doing this for a long time. How has muskie fishing changed over the years? I mean, what have you noticed with equipment or tackle or maybe even the fish itself?
Well, I don't think the fish have changed much. Although I do think on the heavy traffic lakes, like, you know, years ago we didn't have the big boats, I think they tend to have maybe gone deeper sooner and are a little bit tougher to get during the day. But tackle, number one, that's the tackle, the reels, the rods, the lighter rods, the lines. I mean, my God, it's just incredibly different than it was when I was growing up. Now, we didn't even have level lines on a reel when I started. You had to move the line back and forth with your thumb across the spool to get a level effect. We call those knuckle busters because you got a good muskie on. If you had held him too tight and he took the line, the reel would spin backwards and take the make your knuckles bleed. So, the equipment has been the big thing.
Well, you certainly seem to probably have used lots of different types of lures there, and obviously successful enough to wind up in the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. When were you inducted?
2001. And that was the biggest surprise of my life and totally unexpected. It's an honor. It still makes me choke up a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of other guys out there that are probably more deserving than I am, but I guess it doesn't get any better than that for that profession.
Yeah, I suppose.
Real honor.
Yeah, well, the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame is located in Hayward, and if you really want to see a gigantic muskie, they've got that big fiberglass one that's like 143 feet long and, well, happens to be the world's largest. And if you happen to be in Kenora, Ontario, Canada, drop in and see Husky the Muskie. Or just Google it. Save gas money. Well, we're talking about muskie fishing here on Route 51. Still have a few minutes left to get in your muskie questions for legendary Hall of Fame angler, author, and longtime fishing guide Buckshot Anderson of St. Germain. We'll also take your legendary fish tale, and even if it's about the one that got away. We've all been there, haven't we? 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Bill Martins, in for Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy Stevens Point, partnering with Focus on Energy to provide clean, renewable energy for Wisconsin residents, specializing in Velux residential solar hot water systems. Learn more at northwindre.com.
The Nisida National Wildlife Refuge is hosting a youth fishing derby Saturday, June 4th, starting at 9. Included casting lessons, fish identification, knot tying, and fish cleaning demonstrations. Information and directions at 608-565-2551.
Saturday morning at 9.
Yeah, I remember that from 8th grade.
Yeah.
8th grade was a pivotal year for me.
I can tell.
Everything from 8th grade down, I remember.
Most of which, nearly all of which, was useless.
No, that's the good stuff. The adding, subtraction, division, multiplication. I'm a whiz at all those things. 8th grade on, I became uninterested.
Car Talk, Saturday morning at 9 on the Ideas Network.
And the time is 5:51. Quick check of your forecast. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and storms, lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with another chance of showers and storms, breezy and a little bit warmer, highs in the upper 70s. And Saturday and Sunday looks like mostly sunny with highs in the 70s. Right now, mostly sunny skies over north central Wisconsin. We've got temperatures in the mid-60s to lower 70s, so not bad at all, I must say. Back with more Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Martin's in for Glenn Moberg. We're talking about everything muskie fishing with Buckshot Anderson, who joins us on the phone from St. Germain. Your last book called 60 Years Between the Oars came out last summer, correct?
Correct.
All right, and it's about some stories from your time as a fishing guide. Do you have a particularly interesting or a funny story that you can share with us?
Well, I have two things that are unusual with Muskie. The one, I was happened to be fishing with my son on his birthday it was in the 80s, I believe, on a lousy, bright day, and we were using some deep running crankbaits. He was fishing, I was rowing, and we were kind of just lollygagging. He had caught a small one earlier in the day that we released. And as he lifted his lure out of the water to make another catch, he made the fatal mistake of not looking behind it. And the muskie followed the lure into the boat and landed on my son's feet. And you talk about a Chinese fire drill. We finally subdued it and got it back in the water. But it was pretty well beat up, so I hope it survived. But when you say do fish jump in the boat? Once in a while,
yes,
we do.
I guess so. All right, well, we've got a couple of more callers here, so let's see if we can squeeze them on before we are done here in just a couple of minutes. Our first call is, well, in your neck of the woods, and I think Buckshot, it may be someone you know. Hello, Chris in St.
Hey,
Germain.
How's it going?
To have you on.
Hi. Chris, that sounds like my son.
It is.
Hi.
I told you I might call in.
Did I get it right?
Yes, yeah, you're doing great.
You know, my son has caught bigger muskies than I have, and he won the North American Championship in 04, I believe, on Eagle River. He and his wife took the couples in that. So he's done better than his old man and better than his grandpa on the biggest one. He's got one over 30 pounds.
Well, Chris, it's nice to have you along here. What brings you along?
Well, it was going back to just a little bit ago, and it's something that I've always been curious about too. And I don't ask the old man a lot of the questions I probably should, but some of the little lakes that we fish on, like the one we fished Friday, being as small as it is, and the fish get as big in there, with a shallow little weedy lake like that, what do you think that is?
It has to be the nutrients in what they're eating that makes them get that big in there.
Yeah, because there's no whitefish or Cisco or anything like that in like the bigger lakes that they get the big fat fish out of. But I've got 147 inches out of that little lake, and I'm sure people have got them bigger. And it seems to me Neil Long said one of the biggest muskies he's ever seen in his life came out of that, or he saw it in that lake fishing on it.
Yeah, it's got to be the food chain, something in it, because that's a very very fertile lake, as you know, Chris. For the
That, and there's a couple other little ones we fished too, like the one the fish jumped in the boat.
Right.
You had, didn't you have one hit?
We had a 38 inch muskie on the line, and a bigger one grabbed it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to basically call and say it sounded real good, and I couldn't have said anything any better.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
Dad.
Thanks a lot for the call, Chris. We appreciate it. Now let's go to Presque Isle and talk to Rich. Hello, Rich.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Rich.
Hi.
Hi, just a quick little story. Years ago, there was a local guy in Mercer that threw a little fishing tournament, and I used to fish in this tournament. It was just kind of a friendly little tournament, and one of the guys in the tournament wound up catching a muskie on Rice Lake in Mercer, and he kept the fish, and it was a 38-incher, but it had a big old bulge in them, and we're all standing around looking at the fish, and wondering what that bulge was, and he says, well, let's see. So he got out a knife and he cut it open, and sure enough, there was one of them ducks that you're talking about. It was a merganser, and that he got out of his stomach, and the head was bit off the merganser, so he was in two pieces in the muskie stomach.
Wow. Yeah, they've got an appetite, don't they?
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that somehow he bit the head off first and then swallowed both pieces. That's the only way that could have happened, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, Dan, appreciate the call. Sorry to can't talk a little bit more, but I want to try to squeeze in one more before we're out of here. Dan and Lac de Flambeau's on next. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Buckshot.
Hi.
My grandpa Bob and his son, my dad Mike, used to hunt with you in St. Germain, Riley's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I got a little story. My brother and I, a few years ago, we live up here on State and Acre Lake. And the tide kind of turned on the muskie. We found a muskie, a 37-incher, floating in the water, barely alive. Someone didn't revive it or something. But we tried to revive it for a while, and up after about 45 minutes, and there was a baldy eagle circling around, and he went for it and came down and got it in his talons, and he only got about 3 feet out of the water because he couldn't lift the thing. So, you know, we were out there on the lake for a while, and he ended up just giving it a few pecks every time he'd go down there and getting himself some food, but he couldn't lift it up to take it wherever he was going. So
wow.
The mighty muskie wasn't, you know, it was still fighting after it was down. So I thought that was a cool story.
Wow. Yeah, that must have been something to see there.
All right,
appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Hey, Buckshot, we just have a little bit of time here, but before you go, can you offer a piece of advice to all our listeners who, you know, we've now fired up to land one of those trophy muskies?
Well, my two words: keep casting.
Keep casting.
And be patient. The day will come. If you want to work hard enough, you'll get one eventually.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, hey, you know, watch out for Rick Ryer, who engineered the program this week. I hear he's heading up to your direction later this month. He's awfully dangerous with hooks.
Okay, I'll keep my eye peeled.
All right. Buckshot Anderson was our guest today. He spent 61 years as a fishing guide in northern Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. He is the author of multiple books, including his most recent 60 Years Between the Oars, and is a member of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Partly because he caught more than 400 muskies. He joined us from his home in St. Germain. Again, just a friendly reminder that the DNR's free fishing weekend is this Saturday and Sunday. You can fish anywhere in the state. You don't need a license. You do have to abide by all the other regulations, though, but you just don't need a license, so do take advantage of that. Looks like the weather is going to be in your favor, too, so get out there on the water and have a good time. Sorry to Jim from Pine River. Did not have time to get you on today. Just, you know, where does the time go sometimes? But, you know, thank you to everyone else who called in, and thank you for listening as well. We really appreciate it. And I want to thank Rick and as well as Jake Claddy for their help in getting the show up on the air in our Wausau studio. Thanks to Glenn Moberg for the chance to sit in. Musical credits go to Brad Paisley, Douglas Stambler, and John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme you're hearing in the background now. I'm Bill Martins in Madison. I'll be back next week and hope you'll do the same. And until next time, we're heading out of town.